Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Welcome back to Rock Splitting Politics, and that was the sound of rock cracking. And what's going on in your world this week? Well, last week we had the issue of gay marriage at the United States Supreme Court, so we're going to talk some about that and give you a couple of clips. You may not have heard the actual sound recording, so we got a little audio right there from the United States Supreme Court. You can see on my homepage, we got a picture of the Supreme Court there, and this is about politics, and it concerns something to affect everybody in our country, what they're talking about. So we got a little clip from Justice Scalia and Ted Olson, who was fighting for gay marriage in the Supreme Court. So we'll get a little clip of that coming up. And what else? We got our good friend Foster Free sent me an email. And those of you who have heard Foster Freeze on this program in the past, a great American, a great conservative, and he gave us a link to a news article about, well, I'm going to tell you about it. It's a shame. We're shutting down the White House and won't let school children from America, across America, go tour the White House, and yet we got billions of dollars being wasted in fraud in the IRS. The Internal Revenue Service is doing nothing about it. I'll tell you about that. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about the subject of Ted Cruz. He was last week's show subject. We had on last week the father of United States Senator from Texas, Ted Cruz. This week, we have the second half of that interview with Rafael Cruz. So we're looking forward to that. And now, I want to get in today's show with a little bit of the news. In the past, we've had a Facebook page that we haven't had time to get a lot on there, but we're going to work with that, and we want to invite you to go to the Facebook page and like it, tell your friends about it. We're going to try to build up our likes right there on the Facebook page, so help us out there as we put more on there, so we can't get everything in every show that you listen to. So we're going to put some things out on Facebook, and you can comment and help us build up the likes right there on the Facebook page. So we appreciate your help doing that, and we want to welcome our new guest right here to Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and you're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net, and we're glad to have you. We grow because of people like you that listen to the show and link it to the friends. Tell the friends about it, because you hear things right here you won't hear anywhere else, including today's show. I'm going to tell you a story I bet you don't know about. We know the top two countries in the world with the biggest or the largest Jewish population. There's more Jews in Israel and the United States than any other country on earth. What's the third country that has more Jews than any other country? Do you know? We're going to talk about that in today's Rock Splitting Politics Tombstone of the Week Award. And for our new listeners that don't know, Tombstone of the Week Award is given to somebody or something or some action that goes out that should be buried 6 feet beneath the tombstone. So if you don't know what the third country has the largest Jewish population besides the state of Israel and the United States, you need to listen, and I'll give you that answer, and I'll tell you an outrage that you may not know about. And you probably have not heard about it. And that's why you listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Here we are. What what did Foster Freeze send us? He sent us a link. This report, and I'm going to put the link up on the homepage so you can go right to it. But Foster Freeze, our good friend, was telling us about this. And here's the link that you will, I'm going to let you hear a little bit of it, and I'll explain what's going on.
13 investigators discovered that millions of illegal immigrants are getting bigger tax refunds than you are.
And it's all because of a massive tax loophole that costs billions, and you're paying for it. Our investigative reporter Bob Siegel has spent the past 3 months uncovering this problem right here in Indiana. He tells us tonight how the IRS is simply handing out your tax dollars to people who don't even live here.
We are not showing his face, and he does not want you to know his name. But this longtime tax consultant does want you to know what he's discovered.
There's not a doubt in my mind. There's huge fraud taking place here.
He came to 13 Investigates to blow the whistle on a nationwide problem with a huge price tag.
We're talking about a multi-billion dollar fraud scheme here that is taking place.
The scheme involves illegal immigrants who are filing tax returns. You see, everyone who earns money in the U.S. is required to pay taxes. The IRS says it's even required for those who are working here illegally. Of course.
And I hope you'll listen and we'll listen to the rest of that. It's about 5-6 minutes long, and I got a link to it on the homepage. But listen, what is going on here is complete fraud, and the IRS is not doing anything about it. You'll find out the Inspector General of the United States Treasury Department says they know it's going on. And they've told the Internal Revenue Service not only is it going on, they've told them ways to modify it, to fix it, to stop it, to stop the fraud. Estimated over $4 billion, that's $4,000 million a year. It's been going on for years and nobody's doing a thing about it. It's frustrating as people who are hard-working Americans and they're seeing the money sent out of the country illegally, fraudulently, and now we want an immigration bill. Well, I'm telling you, why should people who have a pathway to citizenship who've been defrauding the American taxpayer? They need to find out who these people are. We need to stop it. And not only that, why should anybody that has profited tens of thousands of dollars by frauding the American taxpayer have a pathway to citizenship? We need to clear this up before we get to any immigration bill. It should be taken up by the United States House, the United States Senate, and let's get to the bottom of it and stop it. Stop it cold. Tell your congressman about it. Because what's going on, if you hear the whole story on this link, we got illegal aliens, undocumented workers. If you'd rather call them undocumented workers, so be it. Undocumented workers. No matter what you do, if you're in the United States, the IRS says you must pay taxes on what you make. Therefore, instead of a Social Security number, these undocumented workers get an ITIN number. And it's given by an Internal Revenue Service. But they get that number, and when they put it on, and then they can get a child. This is the part they use, a child tax credit. But guess what? They know nobody's been looking. They've been doing it for years. There's one, and this is what this story is about. There's one trailer, a home, where 20 children from four different families are documented. As they say they live there, and they get, you know, each person that files on so many children at that trailer are getting $10,000 and more dollars. Only one child has ever lived there. The other 19 are still in Mexico and have never lived in the United States. And yet the United States citizens, the taxpayers, the hard-working Americans are sending money to people and children in Mexico because they say fraudulently that they're living in the United States under a roof in America. It's a fraud. It's wrong. And ask your congressman to do something about it. I told you about last week they had a section on gay marriage. I gave you my thoughts on that. My thoughts are you open up a Pandora's box when you start changing the definition of marriage. It's been known for thousands of years. One of the arguments that I think Justice Alito was saying, this is gay marriage was never introduced in the world until the Netherlands did it in the year 2000. This is something newer than the internet. It's newer than cell phones. And what does it mean to society? What Justice Alito was saying, before we jump in and make a huge decision, we need to know what this means to society. I don't think it's good for society. I've told you that. You start messing around with the definition of marriage, and before that, I mean, if you're discriminating against a homosexual, then why are you discriminating against a polygamist? You're just discriminating against those who want incestuous marriage. There's so many things in this debate that is not being talked about because the press is just going far left on this decision. And we'll see what the United States Supreme Court says. But I'm going to play you a section right here when Justice Scalia was talking with Ted Olson, who was pushing and supporting gay marriage in this debate in the United States Supreme Court. Let me play this for you.
We decide what the law is. I'm curious, when did it become unconstitutional to exclude homosexual couples from marriage? 1791, 1868, when the 14th Amendment was adopted, sometime after Baker, where we said it didn't even raise a substantial federal question. When did the law become this?
I may answer this in the form of a rhetorical question. When did it become unconstitutional to prohibit interracial marriages? When did it become unconstitutional to assign children to
separate... Easy question, schools? I think, for that one, at the time that the Equal Protection Clause was adopted. That's absolutely true. But don't give me a question to my question. When do you think it became unconstitutional? Has it always been unconstitutional?
When the California Supreme Court faced the decision, which it had never faced before, is does excluding gay and lesbian citizens who are a class based upon their status as homosexuals, is it constitutional?
That's not when it became unconstitutional. That's when they acted in an unconstitutional matter. In an unconstitutional manner. When did it become unconstitutional to prohibit gays from marrying?
Then they did not assign a date to a Justice Scalia, as you know. What the court decided was a case that came before.
I'm not talking about the California Supreme Court. I'm talking about your argument. You say it is now unconstitutional.
Yes.
Was it always unconstitutional?
It was constitutional when we, as a culture, determined that sexual orientation is a characteristic of individuals that they cannot control.
I see. When did that happen? When did that
There's
happen?
No specific date in time. This is an
evidence. Well, how am I supposed to know how to decide a case?
Because
then?
The case
you
that's
can't
before
give me
you,
a date when the Constitution changes.
You today, California.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, my fellow Americans, that listen to the Justice Scalia and Ted Olson go at it. That's the debate we need to have in America, and we're not having it. We're not having it in a good discussion, but I am telling you this, that it is very deep, and it's a very emotional subject, and what the Supreme Court decides could affect tens of millions, 300 million people from coast to coast, or it could affect just the people in California. Don't know yet. And then they also had to talk about DOMA last week, the Defense of Marriage Act, the federal act. Can you put a federal act on state laws? And if it's a state law, this whole thing of changing the definition of marriage is turning out to be hitting a hornet's nest. And we, so far, nobody's knocked a hornet's nest down. But when they do, there are going to be some people getting stung. That's all I got to say. And who may get stung? Maybe the Republican Party. Listen to what Mike Huckabee on his show, listen to what he had to say about the Republican Party and gay marriage. Well, let me stop right here. I'm going to play that on the other side of the break. Let's have a little break right here and explain to you what you need to be doing. You need to go to my Facebook page and like the Facebook page. We got to get some more people liking that page. If you do that, then I'm going to start getting some more articles and things on there that I can't get everything in every week. You know that. It's a 30-minute show, and so much goes in every week, so we'll be putting some things on a Facebook page. Appreciate you going and liking that right here, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And the Facebook page is called Rock Splitting Politics. I also want to tell you about our good friends at Freedom Works. They got a new program called Demand It, and go there at Freedom Works, check that out, and it's where grassroots leaders like you, I know many of you across the country, we've had you on the show everywhere from Wisconsin, South Carolina, California, we've had grassroots people across the nation on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I know a lot of you listen to us, And sometimes it gets frustrating. You get depressed. Some of you are in places where you had a big Tea Party group 2 years ago, and now there's only a handful coming. And it seems about who's committed. There's a lot of committed people. We're getting connected, and we're not going to give up. And that's why you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And we are going to bring you people like Ted Cruz's father. You heard him last week. You're going to hear him again. And he's going to get you fired up not to give up and to dig in and to fight for freedom. And that's coming up right after a segment of Mike Huckabee. So don't forget, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. We do want you to go to FreedomWorks. Click on Matt Kibbe, the head of FreedomWorks. He's the ads right there on our homepage. And click on right there and find out more about FreedomWorks, because freedom does work. It works for you. It works for me. Now, let's hear this clip here from Governor Mike Huckabee when he was asked what would happen with the Republican Party if the GOP endorses same-sex marriage.
They might, and if they do, they're going to lose a large part of their base, because the evangelicals will take a walk. And it's not because there's an anti-homosexual mood, and nobody's homophobic that I know of, but many of us, and I consider myself included, base our standards not on the latest Washington Post poll, but we base it on an objective standard, not a subjective standard.
So you got Governor Mike Huckabee out there saying, look, if the Republican Party endorses gay marriage, then you'll lose the evangelicals. And if those who don't know, when the Republican Party wins, they call it the three-legged stool. And you got to have all three legs working if you want to win. And even though some people wonder what the future Republican Party is, you still got to have those who are strong on national defense. That's one leg. Second leg are those who are fiscal conservatives, and a lot of libertarians go into that group, and that's the second leg. And the third leg is the evangelicals and the social issues. And if you lose that one-third of a leg, then the Republican Party does not have a chance to win. You know, like many people said, if you want to be a Democrat light, join the Democratic Party, try to be a conservative in there, and you get nowhere. But trying to make the Republican Party like the Democratic Party is a fool's game. It's fool's gold, and it will not win elections. Mitt Romney, what was he? He was your moderate Republican, him and John McCain, moderate Republicans. We got to lean to the left if we want to get elected. Didn't work, folks. It did not work. Now, let me just say, I am so glad that I had the privilege to meet Rafael Cruz. And we're going to listen to the second part of his interview. I was so excited to have him on the show. And I've got so many good responses from you who have been listening to Rafael Cruz. And like me, you're more enthused than ever to have Ted Cruz as the United States Senator from Texas. And before we get in the second half of our interview with Rafael Cruz, let me tell you, his son is making waves. Listen to this liberal, Lawrence O'Donnell. I never listen to his show. I think a couple of dogs and cats and a few people around the country. But Lawrence O'Donnell, when he had this, had just played this part, because you can tell Ted Cruz is making waves, because the establishment, liberals, the communist, I say the word communist and you'll find out why in just a minute, they cannot stand Ted Cruz. They cannot stand him. They're trying to smear him. Listen to what Lawrence O'Donnell has to say about Ted Cruz.
McCarthyism is, of course, named after the 1950s Republican Senator Joe McCarthy, who made wild accusations about communists running our government back when, you know, communists were not running our government. Senator Ted Cruz has recently been compared to Joe McCarthy. The New Yorker ran this invaluable piece by Jane Mayer. Is Senator Ted Cruz our new McCarthy? The McCarthy comparison has come up because Ted Cruz tried to slander Chuck Hagel during his confirmation hearing, and because Ted Cruz really is the last person left in America and possibly the world who is still worried about communists. And like Joe McCarthy, he is so worried about communists that he lies about communists and is especially fond of lying about who is a communist.
Well, I can just say, Lawrence O'Donnell is to me like Neil Young was to the Lynyrd Skynyrd Band. You don't know what I mean? Well, listen to this just a second, and then we'll go on. Now, some of you Yanks may not quite understand what I'm trying to say, but let me just say, Lawrence O'Donnell, I don't need you around. And as Charlie Daniels might say, you can take that to the bank. Now let's move on. We got a great American coming up, Rafael Cruz. You heard him last week. If you didn't get to hear last week's show, go back by all means and listen to last week's show with Rafael Cruz. Don't forget the Tombstone of the Week Award will be coming up right after our interview with Rafael Cruz. And thank goodness his son is now a United States Senator from Texas. His son is not afraid to stand up for what's right, stand up for freedom, stand up for the Constitution, and he learned much of what he's doing from his dad. Okay, Rafael Cruz, we're going to go right into our interview where we stopped off last week. And then, so that brings me to the question, and you've studied as you see it, your son's a United States Senator. What do we do? How do we get the young people involved? And I look at the Hispanic vote, 70% went to President Obama. I look at the African-American vote, 95% went to President Obama. Where does freedom get an infusion in, for conservatism?
Well, it is a matter of education. You know, Thomas Jefferson said, if a people expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what never was and never will be.
Wow, we hadn't heard that.
We must communicate the message of conservatism. We must communicate the message of freedom. And I know it because I know what it is not to be free. And you know, perhaps our children and our teenagers and young adults are happy with the handouts from the government, but those handouts, all they promise is mediocrity. God did not make us to be mediocrity. God made us for excellence, to achieve our dreams. You know, America is that country where your dreams can become true, right, where you can achieve that American dream, to be able to succeed in anything you put your hand to. And I'll tell you, we need to transmit this message. It needs to become a vision for these young people. You can achieve anything you set your mind to. And that vision must become a passion. You know, I just am reminded all the time. It makes tears come to my eyes when I read the Declaration of Independence. Uh-huh. And the very last words of the Declaration of Independence, where it says, we pledge to each other,
right,
our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Wow.
And you know, Doc, each and every one of us needs to do the same thing. We need to say, I pledge my life, I pledge my fortune, I praise my sacred honor to defend freedom in this country. If we don't do that, we are in danger of losing that freedom. And I think that's the message we need to communicate to the young people in America.
Well, you just did, and for our listeners, that and they know that's what they hear on this radio show. That's one reason I'm doing this, because I have four children, you know, 15, 12, 10, and 8 years old. And people ask, why do you do what you do, Doc Holliday? Why do you get on the show? Why do you get people to interview? And all the time, I try to make a living by working in people's mouths, being a dentist. But I know I do it for the children, for this country, because what you just said, we've got to do it with a passion. for people to understand that we gotta defend freedom.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we need to transmit, you know, what Ronald Reagan so eloquently said. You know, freedom is not passed down from generation to generation in our bloodstream. Every generation has to fight to preserve it.
Wow.
Otherwise, it's going to become a memory of the past. We cannot allow that to happen. The stakes are too great.
And you've pointed these things out. Let's put some flesh on these bones we're talking about. What exactly that we can tell the young people? We know what we can tell them. What's going on in the United States Senate now? I see we're like Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, your son, Senator Ted Cruz, and there's Senator Mike Lee, Senator Tim Scott, and others. They're standing up, and we're seeing these young new senators saying, we want to make a difference. Now, how can we expect 4 or 5 United States senators to make a difference when there's 100, you know, there's 95 others that don't want to see them succeed, it seems like?
Well, I'll tell you, Doc. I was really touched. My son gave the keynote speech at CPAC this last weekend.
Right. Awesome.
And he made a statement that people need to meditate upon.
Okay.
And he said, for the last 3 weeks, we have been winning.
Wow.
You know, people come to him all the time with the doom and gloom and saying, well, you know, you are a minority of the Senate. You can fight, but you're going to lose. But you know something? They have been winning the argument.
Amen.
They have been winning the argument.
They
whether
have.
You win the final vote or not, they've been winning the argument. And let me tell you a very clear, something that we saw just yesterday. You know, my son Ted has been fighting very hard to preserve the Second Amendment.
Yes.
You saw him on the hearings of the judiciary hearings against
Senator Feinstein.
You know, these people that want to ban guns and destroy the Second Amendment. Just yesterday, after Dianne Feinstein had the altercation with Ted and Ted just pointed out that what she was doing was unconstitutional, you know, of course, the Democrats have a majority in the committee, so it came out of committee. All the Democrats voted for it. And yet, yesterday, Senator Harry Reid refused to even take that that thing to the floor for a vote. So basically, the argument caused that ban on assault weapons to be killed, even though the Democrats have a majority. So, speaking the truth and speaking for freedom, it's going to wake up people. And let me tell you something that happened with this filibuster that Rand Paul started, and then Ted and Mike Lee joined him.
We talked about that on our show. Yes,
that electrified America, and that is causing others to take heed. And I think we're going to see more and more conservatives in the Senate just stand with Ted, with Rand Paul, with Mike Lee, with others, and say it is America is worth fighting for.
Wow. Now that gives us hope, and that's one reason I wanted to get you on my show, because I knew what you had to say. Our listeners want to hear. There's people out there after Barack Obama was reelected. Some people went into the depression, and they're just sitting there like a deer in a headlight and don't know what to do. And what you're telling me inspires me. I hope it gives hope to our listeners. It's not a time to sit back and do nothing. It's time now to give it everything we have to fight for freedom.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's great hope. Just think about this. We have an election in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
There are 33 Senate seats up for re-election. 23 of those are Democrats. Only 10 are Republican. And some of those Democrat seats are in red states. We have a great opportunity to retake the Senate. And we must do that. So we need to work as hard as we can to help young conservatives, constitutional conservatives in all of these states to challenge all of those Democratic seats. and retake control of the Senate with constitutional conservatives that are going to take us back to conservatism. And one of the things that we need to do is just be like a voice crying in the wilderness. Unfortunately, you see the rhino Republicans telling us that the Republican Party needs to move to the left. Mm. That is absolutely garbage. We need to stand firm for conservative principles, stand firm for freedom and the Constitution. And that is the message that is going to be a winning message. If we are the same as the other party, then there's no, then you don't have any hope. We must present a clear alternative based on freedom and the Constitution.
And Raphael, I'm glad you brought that up. That's one question I wanted to ask you. We see, just like your son defeated a rhino Republican that was trying to win. He defeated him in the primary. Now, what happens with, we want to see Republicans get control because they'll be more conservative. I would love to see Ted Cruz leading the Senate or a conservative voice. But what do you do with rhinos? You know, do you try to primary them, or do we just put all our fight in trying to get the socialist Democrats out of power and then come back to the rhino issue?
We need to do both. We have to look for strong constitutional conservatives to run in all these races.
Uh-huh.
There are people that have been in the Senate for 30 years, and they're more concerned with the status quo than with what's best for this country. And our primary concern should be freedom, the Constitution, restore this country to its former greatness. And I think the, you know, time for go along to get along is we don't have time for that. We need to fight to restore this country to the greatness as it is, has enjoyed for over two centuries.
And what you said, we don't have time for that. We look at that that growing national debt. It's like a big python waiting to squeeze the life out of this country. It's already squeezing the life out of our economy. Like you said, we have got to, I don't know what the word is. We can't play footsies because we've got to get this debt down. The only way to do it is get some constitutional conservatives into power.
You know, Doc, my son has only been in the Senate for 2.5 months. And some of these rhinos told Ted, you know, you're a junior senator. You're supposed to be quiet. And he said, I didn't come up here to be quiet. I came here to be a voice for freedom and conservatism and the Constitution.
I'm so proud of your son for doing that, not just sitting back and watching. He came in ready to speak and fight. And like you said, he's already, when the whole Democrats were in charge of that assault ban, and his standing up against Senator Feinstein, the head of the committee, and it won today because Harry Reid took Ted Cruz's side, didn't he?
Well, I think he saw that it was a losing battle for them, you know. And you see, trying to erode our freedoms, whether it is with the First Amendment or the Second Amendment, and I mean, if we just honor the Bill of Rights, if we would honor the 10th Amendment, we wouldn't have a out-of-control federal government like we do.
Right, and I know we got to get this interview coming to a close here in a minute, but one of the things that inspires me is seeing your son up there, knowing that, you know, he didn't just walk up and become senator, and I'm so glad you shared what he was doing in high school, what he's doing, you know, even as a young boy, learning that what it means to be free, and he had you to help teach him. But that, knowing he has that background, gives me even more hope that we're going to get people like your son and others into office that will know how to use the power to limit federal government, get rid of some of this federal government, get it back to the states, and get more free. And that's why we got to get people convinced and understand what that freedom means.
And you know, Doc, we need to just tell people, stop thinking of doom and gloom. Be part of the solution. Don't just sit in a corner weeping. You know, Psalms 30, verse 5, says, weeping may endure for an evening, but joy cometh in the morning.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, our morning is coming. And if we all stand shoulder to shoulder fighting for freedom and the Constitution, we are going to see a new morning in America.
Raphael, you really believe that, don't you? You really believe it.
And I am going to do all I can to make that a reality.
Well,
we have to, Doc. We don't have a choice.
You are so right. We don't have a choice, and I'd love to keep talking, but I know we got to bring this interview to a close, but we will definitely want to get you back on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics.
Thank you, Doc. It's a pleasure and a privilege, and I'll tell you what, you are making a difference in America. Continue to be a voice crying in the wilderness, and I'll tell you what, you are making a difference. God bless you, God bless every one of our listeners, and let's fight and let's restore the greatness of this country. This is still the shining city on a hill.
Wow, what a way to end the show. That I can't say anything else. You said it all. Thank you, Raphael.
God bless you, and God bless America.
Raphael Cruz, folks, you got to get this audio out to your friends. Link this. This is America. This is the enthusiasm we need to get America back on the right track. We're going in the wrong direction, but we got people like Raphael Cruz and his son Ted Cruz and others like you and me and Rock Splitting Politics and Freedom Works. We're going to get the job done. Let's all work together. Now, this week's Tombstone of the Week Award, it goes to what's happening in another country. There's a country, and I ask you, where are the most Jews other than the United States and Israel? Well, the third country that has more Jews than any other place in the world is France. But what's going on in France? Jews don't feel safe, and there's been a quiet exodus of Jewish people from Paris and from France into the United States, and that's mostly into New York, and there's some, of course, going to Israel, but more than 80% of the almost 600,000 French Jews come from Morocco, Tunisia, and Algeria. And these are families who have spent centuries in coexistence with the Muslims, but were forced to leave back in the 50s and 60s. And they found in France an accord that they thought there would be some tolerance. And there was. But then the Muslim intolerance that drove them out into France, it began in around 2002. There was the Intifada, and then that led to intolerance and more in France. And then, you know, just last year they had a killing at an elementary school by some radical Islamist. So what is going on? Well, people are voting with their feet to go into freedom. But worse than that, where is this administration? Just last week, we saw the ugly pictures and terrible tortured pictures of Christians, Coptic Christians in Egypt, who were dragged and kidnapped out of their homes, placed in a mosque and tortured in the mosque by the radical Muslim Brotherhood that this president is working with in Egypt. Where is the president of the United States talking about freedom of religion, freedom and respect of human rights? Where is this administration? It has failed, it's failing, and it's time for them to speak up for one of the great American principles of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom to worship. And where is that from this White House? It's non-existent. I don't see it. It's time they stood up, and that's why they get this week's Tombstone of the Week Award for doing absolutely nothing for the people who want freedom around the world and want to worship in a way that they choose, and they can't do it because of the intolerance this administration is tolerating. Okay, see you next week. God bless you. God bless America. We're going to be talking about Cyprus next week. Can America take away your bank account and money from your bank account without you knowing it like they did in Cyprus? Stay tuned next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.